July 20th, James Holmes entered a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, where a screening of Batman film The Dark Knight Rises was playing. He was wearing a gas mask and full body armor, and after unleashing a couple of smoke bombs into the movie theater, he opened fire, killing 12 people and injuring 58 others. This was a senseless and tragic crime that has alarmed our nation and caused many people to question, even Christian people, to question, where was God? Where was God that night? Maybe you've asked that question. Well, today, I want us to look at that question and to think about that question. Where is God when untold violence? Where is God when untold suffering occurs? Has He departed? Has He left? Where is He? I want to look at that question today. And so today I'm going to be in two different places. I'm going to be in the book of John is where I'm going to be. But I'm going to be in John chapter 3 to begin with. If you're not familiar with the Bible, if you turn to the New Testament, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I'm going to be in John chapter 3, and then I'm going to turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 3, verse 16, is a verse that most everybody in this congregation today has probably heard before. But it's not only that verse, but the four verses that follow that, that are important to us today. And the first point I have is this. God has never promised to save everyone. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in the Son is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. You ask the question, where was God? Or where is God when hell breaks loose on earth? You also have to ask the question, if hell breaks loose on the earth, am I ready to face this God? Am I ready to meet Him face to face? Because the truth is, folks, there is the good news of Jesus Christ, but if we're going to be faithful Bible-believing Christians, we have to understand that there is the other side of the good news. And the Bible tells us this, that Christ came into the world to save sinners so that the world would not be condemned. But whoever does not believe in the Son of God, the Scripture here tells us in verse 18, whoever does not believe that Jesus is the Christ is condemned already. If you stand outside of Jesus Christ, if Christ is not your Savior, if He is not your Lord today, the Scriptures tell us clearly that you are already condemned. You lie under the condemnation and wrath of God. That is your state. Either you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting in His death and His resurrection for you, or you lie under the wrath of God. There are only two options biblically. Now you may say, I just don't believe that. I can't believe that. I won't believe that. And you're free to have that belief. But you can never say that the Bible doesn't teach this. because it's clear throughout Scripture. God does not save, and God does not promise to save everyone. Joseph Stalin, who was the premier of the Soviet Union from 1941 to 1953, was a terror upon his own people. He took some of his people and had them experimented on, surgeries performed on them, many different things done to the people of Russia, all in the name of science. He tortured his own people, and it's been told that over 20 million people were killed under his regime, of his own people. 20 million. Stalin was an atheist, and yet, at his death, lying on his deathbed, his daughter sitting there watching her father die, as he is dying, and before he takes his last breath, he sits up in bed and shakes his fist at the ceiling and then lays back and dies. We have no evidence that a person like that is saved. They will not be saved. If we mock God, if we turn away from God, we will be condemned. The Bible tells us that. And it says this, that whoever does not believe in Christ is condemned already. And it's not just the Joseph Stalins of the world. It's the good people of the world. Our goodness cannot get us into heaven. We can never be good enough to be saved. The Scriptures clearly tell us that. It is not by our works that we are saved. It is only by Jesus Christ that we can be saved. And there are good people in this world, and I counted myself as one of those good people. I was a good kid. I didn't want to disappoint my parents. I wanted to do the right things, but I was lost. I was lost even though I was a good kid. And the Bible is quick to tell us that if we don't trust in Christ, then we will not be saved. We lie under the wrath of God. And yet Jesus says this. Listen to this verse in John chapter 6, verse 37. He says this, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast away." The invitation for you today, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, the invitation for you today is to come to Him, to trust in Him, to trust that He died for your sins, because the truth is, all of us are sinners. And He says that if you will come to Him, He will save you, and He will never cast you away. He will never turn His back on you if you will trust in Him. Whether you're the Joseph Stalins of the world or the James Holmeses of the world, what James Holmes did in killing those people was horrific. And yet, James Holmes, if he will turn from his sin and trust in Jesus Christ, he will be saved, and he will be locking arms with you one day in heaven. And you say, that's not fair. He doesn't deserve that. If that's what you say, you don't understand the nature of your own sin. We are all rebels against God. Even good people who will say, I don't need God. I'm a good person. I donate my time. I am good to people. I'm helping people all the time. I'm nice. I don't beat my kids. If you think that is going to get you in heaven, you're wrong. According to the Scriptures, you don't have a leg to stand on. But the truth also is this, good person, if you will come to Jesus Christ and trust in His death and His resurrection for you, you will be saved. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast them out. Never. Regardless of what you're going through. If you know Jesus Christ, if you know that you know that you know that He is your Savior and your Lord, regardless of what you are going through today, He has promised that He will never turn His back upon you. Jesus invites you today to come to Him, to believe in Him, to give Him your life so that He can give you life. Because when Jesus comes into your life will be different. And I say this, there may have been people in that movie theater that night who did not know Jesus. The point is, folks, I was talking to Eli about this. We are not promised tomorrow. All kinds of hell breaks loose on this earth, and we never know when that is going to be, but we need to be ready. My children need to be ready. The good people of this world need to be ready. The Joseph Stalins of this world need to be ready, because if they are not, they will perish for all eternity under the wrath of God. And yet, He says to you today, will you come to me? Will you give me your life? Will you trust me? I'll never turn you away. Never. No matter what it is, I will not turn you away. I will keep you. Not only this, do we see that God has never promised to save everyone. But we also see, if you want to turn over to John chapter 16, is that God has never promised to save His children from trouble. God has never promised to save His children from trouble. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 16. He says this, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The first thing I want to look at is that first phrase. In this world you will have trouble. When I became a Christian, for whatever reason, I thought that my life was going to be smooth sailing from that point. I thought that my life was going to be blessed, that I was not going to have problems, that I was going to rise above my problems. I don't know how I got that view, but it's just not true. In this world, Jesus guarantees us that we will have trouble. Trouble also means tribulation. It's an internal pressure causing someone to feel like they're confined or they're being squeezed together and that there is no way of escape. In this world, you will have that experience. Jesus is telling His disciples that. We are never promised by Jesus Christ smooth sailing in this world. Jesus never promised His children that we would not suffer tribulation. He never promised that we would never suffer persecution. This last week at Chick-fil-A in Hermitage on Old Hickory Boulevard, as you know, Chick-fil-A, the owner of Chick-fil-A, the president, whatever, made a stand for traditional marriage. And since he's done that, Boston, the mayor of Boston, I think the mayor of Philadelphia and the mayor of Chicago have all said that they are going to seek to block Chick-fil-A from opening new restaurants in their cities. Well, here's what happened just here at Chick-fil-A in Hermitage this past week. On the radio on Friday morning, a woman called who worked at Chick-fil-A, and she said that there are people driving by through the drive-thru and they're spitting and throwing cigarettes at the employees as they go by. So much for free speech. So much for having the right to believe what you want to believe in this country. You can believe anything you want to believe as long as it's not Christianity, as long as it's not biblical, I guess. Because if you want to take a stand for something like that, expect to get cigarettes thrown at you and spit at. But you know, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have persecution. Paul says, I think in 2 Timothy, he says, whoever desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We will be persecuted because of the name of Christ. There's a lot of people that want to say that they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. There are a lot of people that will say, we just need to practice the Sermon on the Mount, and if we just practice the Sermon on the Mount, that will be all we need. Well, if you really want to practice the Sermon on the Mount, you've got to read the whole sermon and not just the first 10 verses. Because the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 through Matthew 7. And in those three chapters, Jesus promises, I believe it's 12 times, that if you don't follow me, you're going to hell. You can't just take the Sermon on the Mount. You can't just take 5 verses or 10 verses out of the life of Jesus and say, this is what Christianity is all about. Because it's not what Christianity is all about. Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. And I'm just saying that from the standpoint that as Christians, we need to know these things. We need to be aware that if you want to live as a Christian in this world, do not expect smooth sailing like I did. Because it's not going to happen for you. You will be persecuted. There will be internal pressure. There can be times in your life when you are so squeezed and you feel like there is no escape. Bonnie Porciel and Elizabeth Summerall arrived in Aurora, Colorado on a 7 of 10 day vacation that began in Seattle and included stops at Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore. They heard, when they got to Aurora that day, about the midnight showing of The Dark Knight when they checked into their hotel. The next day, they would be back on the road, headed to Porciel's home in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Instead, Porciel is in a hospital in Colorado as one of the 58 people who were injured when a gunman opened fire in the Aurora movie theater. When I was down on the floor, crouched behind the seats, we were praying, Lord, protect us. Keep us safe. And after I prayed that is when I felt a shotgun blast hit my leg. God never promises us that we are not going to have tribulation. God never promises us in this life that we are not going to have circumstances that we feel are overwhelming for us. In fact, He's telling us there are going to be circumstances in your life where you are going to feel completely squeezed. You are going to feel like this is too much for you. The trouble that you are experiencing, He is telling you this is part of life. Don't expect a cakewalk. But not only do we see that God has never promised to save everyone, God has never promised to save His children from trouble, but lastly we see this, that God has promised to save His children in trouble. God has promised to save His children in trouble. Listen to what Jesus says. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Take heart. What does that mean? It literally means to radiate warm confidence in God. That when you feel the pressure, when you feel the squeeze and the tightening of the helpless situation, Jesus is telling you to radiate warm confidence in God. To trust Him, to be emboldened, and to show courage. Literally what Jesus is saying here, or another way of what Jesus is saying here, is do not let your heart be frozen in fear. Take heart. What He's saying is, let the lifeblood of faith course through your veins. Because if you rest in Him no matter what you're going through, if you trust in Him no matter what you're going through, you can radiate a warm confidence in Him in spite of your circumstances. And you may say today, I can't do that. I am gripped by fear. I am afraid of what's going on. And I just plead with you today, do this. Step back, make an assessment of what's going on in your life, and pray. And ask God, Lord, please help me. I can't do this on my own. I am afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. My heart is frozen with fear. The constriction is causing me to lose hope. Step back, remember who you are in Jesus Christ, and seek God to help you through that experience. Bonnie Porcial, the young woman that I spoke about just a moment ago, said this, when I was on the floor, crouched between the seats, we were praying, Lord, protect us. And that's when I felt my leg explode. She said, I grabbed my friend Elizabeth's hand, and we prayed for God to preserve our lives. And He did it. I can wiggle my toes. I still have my leg. And then listen to what she says. She says this, the presence of God was, okay. Smoke bombs going off. You can't see anything. All you can hear is gunfire. And you're laying down on the ground. Your leg is bleeding. She had to have, I believe it was 3 surgeries on her leg after this. And she says this, I still have my leg. He did it. We prayed for Him to preserve our lives. And she said this, in the midst of this hell, the presence of God was overwhelming. The presence of God was overwhelming. And then she closed by saying this, God was just holding us in His hands. No, God does never promise to deliver you from trouble. But He does promise to deliver you in trouble. He does. Take heart. Take heart in those times when you feel tempted to let your heart be squeezed by your circumstances. Jesus says this to you today. Take heart. I want to read to you a verse out of Isaiah. This, and this is God speaking. And He says this, you are afraid of the oppressor who oppresses you all day long. Why are you afraid of Him? You have forgotten me. You have forgotten the Creator of the ends of the earth. I am the one who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of a man who dies? God is telling us you need to remember whose you are. You need to take heart. You may need to step back for a minute and say, God, I am frozen with fear right now. I need your help to get through these next 5 minutes. This young woman who could have easily been killed, could have easily had her life taken from her, the first thing she did was she grabbed her friend's hand, they prayed, and she said the next thing she experienced was the presence of God was overwhelming. Take heart. God has promised to save you in your trouble. But not only has He promised to save you in your trouble, the last thing you need to know is this. Jesus says this, the whole verse is this, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Literally, that word have overcome means to carry off into victory. That Jesus has carried off into victory the world and the snares and the plans of the devil. They are defeated. They are under His feet. They cannot win. They will not win. They might gain ascendancy in moments, but they will not always win forever. That Jesus has said, I have overcome the world. D.A. Carson, the theologian, says this, Jesus' death made the world's opposition pointless. the decisive battle has been waged and won. The world continues its wretched attacks, but those who are in Christ share the victory that He has already won. And the remarkable thing about this verse, He's telling His disciples this. Listen to what He says. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You know when He said this? Before He ever suffered, before He ever died, before He has ever risen. That's the amount of confidence that Jesus has in Himself. He's saying, the devil can't stop me. I am going to lay down my life. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to lay down my life. And 3 days later, I'm going to take it back up again. That's how much confidence Jesus wants you to have in Him today. That even before He died, He didn't rise from the grave and then come to His disciples and say, I have overcome the world. No, Jesus said it even before He suffered and bled and died. He said, I've overcome the world. I have defeated the devil. And we need to know that today, that we need to know that Jesus already has won in your life. He already has victory in your life if you are a child of God. God has promised to save His children in trouble. And because of His Holy Spirit, see, we do have what the disciples did not have. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Let me ask you this question. Jesus is arrested, He's beaten, He's hung on a cross, He's hanging there, and He's dead. He's dead on the cross. Do you think Jesus' disciples were saying, that's victory? That is victory. That is Him overcoming the world right there. That is Jesus winning. Do you think that's what they were thinking? That wasn't what they were thinking. They were scared to death. They were hiding in somebody's home somewhere, afraid to open the door because they were afraid that they were going to get persecuted. 3 days after Jesus' death, they were scared to death. But the thing is, folks, that we have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. We do. We have the risen Christ in our lives. And we need to realize that in the midst of trouble, Jesus already has overcome the world. He already has won. He has won what we could never win ourselves. Andrew Jackson made this statement. I couldn't believe it was Andrew Jackson that made the statement. But apparently, Andrew Jackson is the person that originally said this, "To the victor belong the spoils." And what that means, it simply means that the winners of war get to enjoy the property of the losers. That Jesus Christ, over your life right now, is mocking the devil, and He is saying, you had them, but now I have them. To the victor go the spoils. And Jesus is rejoicing over your life, regardless of what your current situation is, if you're in Christ. If you know Him, you are victorious. And to the victor go the spoils. The devil can never have you again eternally. You need to understand that. But I want to close with this. I shared this on Wednesday night, but it blew my mind. I think it perfectly sums up this last point. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. That same night in Aurora, Colorado, during the movie, there was a young woman there whose name was Petra Anderson. And Petra was critically injured. She was shot with a shotgun in the arm. I believe there were 3 different shotgun blasts in her arm. But she was also shot in the face. One of the bullets or one of the pellets from the shotgun blast went into her face. She was rushed to the hospital. The doctors were extremely concerned. Her pastor is sharing this story 3 days after this happened. The pastor and her parents and other family members are in the waiting room. Everything is touch and go. The doctors come in and they say that they've done a surgery, but it's really going to take 48 hours to know whether or not she's even going to live. They don't expect her to live. And even if she does live, she's probably not going to be able to speak. She's probably not going to be able to walk ever again because she was shot in the face. Very, very critical situation. Listen to what happened. The shotgun buckshot enters her brain through her nose and on through a fluid-filled pocket, which starts right where the bullet entered Petra's brain. Everyone has these channels. Everyone has these fluid-filled pockets in their brains, but they're at random places. According to the doctors, the bullet hit Petra exactly where this fluid-filled pocket occurred in her brain, and then traveled a journey throughout her brain, going through all of the vital areas of her brain and stopping on the backside of her skull. Listen to what her doctor, Michael Rosino, says. He stated, "If the pellet had wavered a millimeter, really in any direction from what it actually took, then she would have either likely died or been severely injured. I would say this is definitely a miracle. It would be hard to create a path similar to this where it goes all the way from the front to the back and misses every single blood vessel, doesn't bother any of the major structures, and leaves her able to, listen to this, talk, move everything, and not be paralyzed or dead. Never in my entire career have I seen a case where a bullet has traversed the entire brain like this and not caused severe brain damage or death." The bullet goes into her nose, hits this pocket of fluid, goes all the way through her brain. She's walking today. She's talking today. She's telling jokes today. She remembers everyone's name. And Jesus tells you today, take heart, I have overcome the world. When the devil does his dead level best to destroy the work of God in this world through a man going on a rampage and shooting up people in a movie theater, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I've done the impossible. There were stories, and there have been, and there probably will be more stories coming out of this catastrophic event that are going to display the glory of God. Where was God on July 20th? He was right there. Same place as where He always is. God has not been moved off of His throne. And you need to understand that today. God has promised to save His children in trouble. And so the question I have for you today is this. Do you know Christ? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe that He has died for your sins? Because that He is the way to the Father. He explicitly tells us that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Christianity's words. That's not the Southern Baptist words. That's Jesus Christ Himself saying, come to me. Anyone who comes to me, I will never cast away. And not only that, but even in the midst of the hell of your life, take heart, I have overcome the world. No one can defeat Him. No one's going to defeat Him. So I plead with you today, do you need Christ? Do you need to be saved? You do, I'm telling you, you do. But are you realizing it maybe for the first time that Jesus Christ is who He says He is and that He is God over your life? This is our time of invitation. Mike, I will ask you to come and If you need prayer, if you want to invite Jesus Christ in your life, I'm here. I can talk with you about that. If you just want to pray, whatever it is that God wants you to do in this time, I would just ask that you would respond in faith. Trust Him. What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? Trust Him today.